Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
All right, so much to get to today. Hope everyone's having a great Wednesday. Beautiful outside.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah, it feels like summer still, which is great. We're feeling more and more like football.
Yeah!
Each and every day.
I smell like football right now.
Do you? What is that? Like, you smell like pigskin?
Or you smell like a pig? Like leather.
You smell like leather.
I smell like leather. Don't I smell like leather, guys?
You smell fantastic.
Thank you. I actually put some cologne on today for the first time in a long time.
It's been a while for me, too. It's been a while, yeah.
I don't miss it.
You know what else about, and later we'll get into the Kirk Cousins sound, but wearing the masks these days and the 6-foot rule with social distancing has helped with bad breathers, hasn't it?
I would think so.
Like, I have not noticed any, like, bad breath lately in the last several months.
You have two barriers. You have 6 feet and a mask.
That's my point. That's how I set this all up.
But do you think, though...
And close talkers, too.
Correct.
I hope this solves the close talkers conundrum forever, you know?
I think it could solve two things. I think you're right about close talkers, because from now on, we're going to be, I don't know if we'll, for the rest of our lives, be 6 feet apart. But it will linger. It will linger.
The personal space will be respected a little bit more.
And maybe the person with bad breath now is more aware of their bad breath because they're smelling their bad breath because they have the mask on.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah, so it's like, you know.
I've had that moment or two.
Of course, we all have.
The mask kind of said, oh boy.
Hell, what the hell is that? Oh, that's me.
I need a little rinse action going on. Time to brush the teeth again.
Can I also add to the mix of things that might be better off going forward? I don't need the handshakes. I'm cool. I think we figured it out.
I'm a handshake guy.
Nah, yeah, me too. I'm still a handshake guy.
We've moved on. We're good.
I'm a handshake guy.
We're good. Give me an elbow bump, boom. We don't have to in and out. We don't need any of the messy.
I would just suggest the
strange grips and the looking a man in the eye and the whole deal. Don't need that.
Okay.
We're good.
I would suggest those that do though decide to maintain a handshake stance. Don't put your hands directly in your mouth or your nose. I mean, like, common sense should be our beacon, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to walk in there, hey, Adam, how you doing today, with a big firm handshake, and then take my hand and put it in my mouth.
Well, you're not supposed to go straight to the mouth. You don't go shake
let
mouth.
I want to let that one breathe.
No, yeah, you don't That's go from weird. The shake yeah. to the mouth.
My point. Like, if you are going to shake hands at some point before you go to the nose, the face, or the mouth, then you have to sanitize. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm a handshake guy, so I'm going to shake hands.
I miss shaking hands, especially with people I haven't seen in a while.
That's right. I'm a hugger, too.
Yeah.
I'll hug.
Well, you know me, I'm not.
You're not a hugger.
Right.
No, you're going to be
safe. A little
bit
better, but still not.
You're the hugger with the, you know, the head, like, uncomfortably craned in a wrong direction.
Well, I'm bad with, like, friends' wives. Like, I've always said that. I'm bad with friends' wives. How do you greet the wife? Hello? It's always, you know, you do kind of like a half hug, and then do you turn your cheek? Like, are you air kissing?
No,
do you
right go on the lips. And, yeah. Right on the lips.
Well, right. Do you peck them on
right
the
on
cheek?
The lips.
Like, I've always felt odd
Full
with that.
Full tongue, right on the lips.
That's, you know, I'm done.
Don't go right to the mouth, guys.
All right. Well, anyway.
There's just so much wrong with the last 60 seconds.
Well, Waddle smells like pigskin, and that's why we got into that.
I smell like football.
So we have new Matt Nagy sound, and we're trying to read
every.
Well, I'm not tired of it yet. You had a good point you brought up in the pre-show fist fight. And I want you to explain to the listeners. And the number to reach us is 312-332-3776. There's two topics about this with the Bears quarterbacks that we really want to get after. Jason Hayward at 3. That will be can't-miss stuff. Waddle said this, speaking of unhealthy in the world today, Waddle said this is unhealthy for the Bears fan base.
All of this quarterback consternation is unhealthy. It's unhealthy for everybody. Like, people are yelling at each other. Like, Mitch is my guy. No, he's not. He stinks. Nick Foles is here to play. I mean, I just think, like, today the Washington football team announced that Dwayne Haskins is their starting quarterback. I don't know if, I mean, I haven't been following the Washington football team closely, but I don't know if there was truly a competition there. Like, I don't really know why Matt has chosen to take this path. I don't. Like, because I said to you yesterday, it's foolish for me to think that at this point, like, they practice today, tomorrow is like a light walkthrough in pads. Like, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. Like, I truly believe every one of the offensive coaches knows exactly who the starting quarterback is going to be. How can you not? And if you don't, then I have to question whether or not you truly are good at evaluating talent, regardless of the position. What more do you really need to see to make that decision? Like, to me, this is all weird as hell. So, like, when I say that to you, I truly believe they've known for several days who their starter is. And I'm being gentle because I kind of think they knew who it was going to be one way or the other when things kicked off in camp. But certainly by, you know, yesterday, you had to think that they know exactly who their quarterback is going to be. And I know that Adam Johns reported today that Matt mentioned to the media that he's going to sit down with the offensive coaches and go over every single play in practice and identify, you know, who's in the offensive huddle for the quarterbacks to work with and which defenders they're playing against. Really?
So you're not buying it? Or are you buying it and you're mad that he doesn't know?
I don't buy it really. And again, like, it makes me sound like I'm calling Matt a liar, and I like Matt, so I don't want to call him a liar, but doesn't that seem weird that now you're in the football business? You watch film every day and you watch practice with your eyes. You're in charge and you can't tell me that you know definitively who's going to start for you in 9 days?
Well, remember the key, what Nagy said before this, and we caught this, is that this is going to be a collaborative effort. Remember, or didn't Pace add that? Someone added that when they were on a Zoom call together.
I believe it was Pace.
And so, like, I've gotten tweets, and I did the Toyota Twitter poll. Visit your Chicagoland Toyota dealer today. Do you believe Matt Nagy really does know who the Bears starting quarterback will be in the NFL opener?
How can he not?
And 71.8% are with you, Waddle.
You answer the question, okay? How can he not? Lay out a scenario because you're good
at this.
Okay,
well, I'll give you, that's what I'm giving you. That people have responded to this by saying that Matt knows who he wants, but Ryan Pace wants Trubisky. That this is all that Matt and his crew wanted Foles, and the general manager wants one last effort with the second overall pick.
That I don't believe.
You don't believe that?
I do not believe.
You can't buy that.
I don't buy that one bit.
Why not?
Because they hired Matt Nagy to make this decision as the coach. And I think the dynamic exists up there that Ryan trusts Matt to make the right decision. I don't believe Matt Nagy's being pressured by the general manager and who's started quarterback. And I get the dynamic there as well, that, you know, Ryan was all in on Mitch and it hasn't gone well. I get all that. But I don't believe he's pressuring Matt Nagy to play one guy or the other.
Plus,
you know what? Ryan Pace is also the guy that traded a fourth round pick and guaranteed $21 million to this guy.
And it's a no-win situation, Sylvie, with Ryan Pace, because say he was pressuring Nagy into starting Mitch and Mitch starts off poorly, that looks bad on the organization as well.
Of course.
Right? So, like,
that leads to the coup that Abdallah's been talking about.
Well, right. Like,
he's on the phone with his bookie. Otherwise, you would hear him cooing in the background.
It's making dinger bets.
Yeah. We were dinger free last night. We had dinger drought, a one-day dinger drought.
Yeah.
Dong, 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 dong. But, like, I'm not buying that, Sylvie. So I would just cut that one off at the pass.
Is that, while we have this, Black, and the number to react, and I want to get to a ton of calls. In the first hour, we're guest-free. I mentioned Jay Hay coming up at 3. Is that Nagy 4 where he goes through
that
he doesn't know and that he wants to get together with the coaches? Black, can we play that one?
Yeah, so basically because training camp is for all intents and purposes over now. So going forward, what's the schedule? And then how are you figuring out this quarterback situation going into next week? Here's Nagy's answer.
As far as our schedule goes, with today being our last padded practice, tomorrow being a lighter non-padded practice. And then what we'll do is they'll have a couple days off and we'll get them back in on Sunday and do another 10-10-10 and get a lift in so that they can get back on track. So that time there, Stacy, is very valuable for us to kind of breathe a little bit. We all have our own opinions of where we're at. But you have these daily schedules and daily scripting that we're doing just to get the next day ready. And so now what we can do as an offensive coaching staff is we can pull back. We get through tomorrow and we'll basically take every clip of every snap of both quarterbacks. And we are going to get in a room and we're going to sit down and we're going to watch all of these clips. And we're not just going to see, was it complete or was it incomplete? We're going to dig really hard into the why. And then we're going to look at situational football. And then we're going to look at what's around him. Is it 1v2, 2v1? And we're going to just shut the door. We're going to have our own opinions. And then ultimately, in the end, we're going to make a decision. I think the more you look at it for us, that's what's most important is to say, hey, we said from the front end, we are going to be extremely fair. We're going to be open and honest. Well, now this is now that we have a library of tape, which we didn't have in Zoom, we now have a library of film that we can evaluate and critique and judge and make decisions. That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to make that decision. We're going to move forward. Okay. Someone's going to get the job and someone's not going to get the job. And they're both going to have to handle that the right way because it's a long season. And so in the end, when we all understand that this whole entire organization feels good with both quarterbacks, that's a good problem to have. Now it's our job to make it work.
Good problem to have. So he laid it out for you, Waddle, that they all have their own opinions. So like you've said, he knows who's going to start. He's got his opinion, but he's saying they want to take a step back. They want to look at it on film, and they want to just throw it at each other and come to an agreement. Do you buy that?
I think that if you're dotting I's and crossing T's and you're doing this to justify to the team so that you're trying to earn the team's respect, that, guys, we said this was going to be this way. So whether or not we have a quarterback competition, we have a tight end competition, we have a defensive end competition, this is how we handle competitions. We're 100% fair and all that other stuff. Look, fine. I'm telling you human nature. Like, they're in the football business, brother. They're not selling cars, okay? So it's not like, hey, I just sold a bunch of cars, now I'm going to football practice to look at some quarterbacks, and then I'm going to evaluate. This is what they do.
I was wondering where you were going with
that. Well, this is what they do. Like, you can't tell me they have trained eyes for this. It's not like, man, I just don't. I would also suggest to you, for reasons that exist because of a pandemic, that you had, 11 practices? I would think that the decision process will also include film of each quarterback going back last year and the year before. Like, because there's no preseason games. Practice is practice. I got no Anthony Miller for a good portion of this, right? I got no Allen Robinson for a good portion of this. We've lost David Montgomery a few days ago. So, like, we're going to do this competition, and we really aren't even at full strength. Now, Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller are going to be ready to go against the Lions, but they really haven't contributed in any of these practices. So whatever competition took place, you did it with an incomplete offense to begin with.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is the evaluation process has to include these guys' past, because you only have 10 or 11 days to even look at. Are you going to tell me if one guy gets hot for a few days in practice, that will supersede what another guy has done over the course of his career in the league?
Yeah, but while Foles has had those moments, he's also over his career been sort of, meh.
Yes, that's why you have to take that into consideration as well. I'm saying you have to take both guys past and the film from them playing in legitimate games, not monitored practices, that's got to factor into your decision as well because of the, again, we did not have a true training camp. We didn't have any preseason games. It's been modified. So your evaluation process has to be modified, in my opinion.
312-332-3776. I know Jesse in Bucktown, we'll get to him, wants to talk about Bears fans fighting. Waddle believes this is unhealthy for the fan base, that we're picking sides over guys that aren't even worth picking sides over. And I want to make a food analogy to this. And then we'll try to figure out the Matt Nagy speak on if he's willing to compliment these guys today. He was asked if he's seen growth in the quarterbacks. Remember the word salad we got yesterday. Did he give us more of that? Because today he was complimenting some other players growing.
Yes, I noticed that as well.
So is he willing to, like, compliment the quarterbacks? 332-3776. Is this bad for the fan base? Do you believe Nagy already knows who the starter is, and this is all just a front until they sit down and, quote, announce this thing? 332-3776. And Jason Hayward of the Cubs will join us at 3.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Some good interaction, too, on Twitch. I just checked in with everybody there, twitch.tv. And remember, follow us on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel. It's all brought to you by Blue Moon Light Sky. Make it a once-in-a-blue-moon derby. So, and someone said on the Twitch interaction, that's what's cool about it. You watch Waddle inside the First Midwest Bank studio. And not only that, can you watch and listen to your favorite shows, but you can interact with us and the other fans. And
just
someone
behave.
Someone said, with the the unhealthy nature of arguing over these quarterbacks, we really can't, like, just dive in and talk about our football team. Like,
right. Hey,
Jalen Johnson, is he going to be right at corner?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with Akeem Hicks's quad? Who's going to be the safety in this team right now?
Can we get A-Rob some money going forward, sign him up to a long-term extension? I mean,
we're picking sides over two guys who are
Let me add this, okay? Listen, when I say that it's unhealthy for the fan base's psyche, I mean, like, I get it. That's not really important to the long-term success or failure of the franchise. I'm just saying in general for fans out there, and you could have said, okay, 5, 6, 7 days ago, Matt could have said, this guy's our starter, we're going to ride with him. And he could have made, I think, a justified case for either. He could have said, you know what? Mitch has been here. Mitch has given one last ride here. It's going to be Mitch's job. And you know what? Nick Foles is there to pick up the pieces if things don't go well. Or he could have said 5, 6, 7 days ago, you know what? We brought Nick in. We trust Nick. It's been an unusual offseason. We hope that Mitch keeps his head in the game, but Nick knows this offense. He knows these coaches. We're going to roll with Nick Foles. You could have done that a week ago and taken all this angst out of the bodies of the fan base. Now, again, I know that probably doesn't matter to everyone up at Alice Hall.
It doesn't.
But I'm just saying.
But we're talking about the fans. Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, the Friday and Saturday, I'm just saying, are the two most nerve-wracking days of the entire NFL season for coaches. Just so you – I mean – historically, the days...
Because they're cutting guys?
The days when you're like, okay, this is our last practice. Yes, we're coming down to our final roster. Then you've got 2 days off, and then you kick the season, you know, the preparation for the season on Sunday. So Friday and Saturday, that's when... I'm just telling you from experience. That's when coaches are holding their breath collectively hoping that nothing goes wrong with their guys who have been given a 48-hour furlough.
Yeah, Roquan Smith, stay out of the playpen.
that was Adam O'Donnell.
You're talking about, like, Michigan's playpen.
Right.
The boats.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Friday and Saturday are the two most nerve-wracking days of an NFL season because, like, in the offseason, coaches don't want their guys to get in trouble. Don't get me wrong.
Well, and especially with COVID now, too.
Right. But we're on the cusp. We're on the cusp of getting things going for real on Sunday for practice, getting ready for the Lions. And, Sylvie, as you said, we also have to worry about that aspect, the COVID aspect as
this
well.
This feels like when I don't want to say my parents, but this feels like coming from divorced parents. This feels like when your parents get divorced and, like, you have to start going to, like, dinner separately. And all they want to do is just talk trash about the other one. Like, all the Mitch fans are just like, yeah, well, Foles can't stay healthy. And Foles got traded. And he was, you know, if he would have been good, he probably would have been starting over Mitch and all this kind of stuff. And then all the Foles, all the Trubisky guys are like, well, look at his stats. And look at this. Literally just feels like going to dinner.
See, but you love your mom parents. And dad.
Of course,
but
I do.
I don't want to hear
either of it. I just want to talk about other stuff.
You just want to have turkey.
Yeah. But here's the point, Abdallah.
Two Christmases.
These two guys aren't worth fighting over. That's the difference. Mom's awesome. Dad's awesome. That's fine. It sucks that they're talking trash, but they're your mom and dad.
Exactly.
Like, these two guys, I equated it.
Mom's got a meth problem and dad's doing a nickel at the local penitentiary.
This is like picking between two mediocre foods that you have to eat the rest of your life. Like, it's not pizza, it's not lobster, it's not steak, the stuff that you absolutely love. It's like picking between a salami sandwich every day. You want to eat salami every day?
Better than us.
Salami and PBJ.
Ooh.
You have to pick between salami and PBJ, and you got to eat it every day.
I love peanut butter and jelly. I would eat peanut
butter every day.
How about liverwurst or egg salad?
Liverwurst, do you really like liverwurst, though?
No, that's my point. I'm picking between two things. You like egg salad?
Sort of, one time in a blue moon.
Ooh.
Speaking of blue moon. Jesse in Bucktown, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jesse.
How's it going, guys? And speaking of blue moon, man, that light sky, citrus sweet, looking nice and good with Waddle in the background right there.
Oh, you're watching on Twitch. I love it.
He scores.
Guys, but optimistic Bears fan here, right? Okay. I see Greg Braggs on Twitch. I see him on Twitter. He is quite literally everywhere, right? I am as optimistic as it gets. But like Nagy said, we're going to shut the door, we're going to run the tape, and we're going to review. At what point does Greg Braggs hear Mitch is going to be the starter? Foles stayed in California the entire offseason. He still has only thrown with Anthony Miller probably two or three times, I think once in pads. What point do we have to realize, I'm optimistic, I want the Bears to succeed, but Foles is going to be the starter. He's only going to extend because he is at the same threshold as Mitch right now, who's been throwing to the same receivers for now 2 years and the entire offseason. At what point, we just got to wash the Greg Braggs out of here, even though we love him. He's got to get off Twitch. He's got to get off Twitter. He's got to go hang out with his family.
We need him involved. He said... I was reading him on Twitter, Jesse. He put Addy down for a nap, and then he dove in. He got all lathered up in Twitter.
That's fair.
And Twitch.
So his parents' duties are taken care of for the couple hours.
Yes, he's not ignoring his beautiful young daughter. He wouldn't do that.
No, not at all. Yeah. But maybe he should pay a little bit more attention to the other beautiful 6'5" son named Nick Foles and get away from the mental little person who is Mitch Trubisky.
Listen, I'm not even going to choose sides right now. I made my prediction, and I'm standing by my prediction.
Right, we're going with Foles, but we're going with whoever they take. And as Bears fans, it's not like a take that we were talking about. If they do pick Foles, if they do pick Trubisky, that guys like Cap and guys like Braggs are going to have like a field day over the weekend.
Well, that's fine.
We're Bears fans. We just want what's best for the team.
I can honestly guarantee you this. If Nick Foles is named the starter, I'm not going to deliver any take that's to anybody. I'm just telling you, whoever is under center against the Lions a week from Sunday, I find it ridiculously hard to believe that the coaching staff right now doesn't know who that guy's going to be. I find that hard to believe. I really do.
Pete Montgomery, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I see things totally different than you guys do. I think that the starting quarterback was known before training camp ever started. The whole thing with Foles was an optics thing. He's better than what they had, but he doesn't inspire any kind of, you know, hope for anything. He started, no more than seven games in his whole career. Never had more than seven touchdown passes in a season in his whole career.
He had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions and 13 starts with Chip Kelly in Philly in one season.
Okay, fine. But regardless, he hasn't had any kind of basis of consistency that would be like, okay, great, this is a guy who can take over. It's not a Cam Newton. It's not a Teddy Bridgewater. They brought a guy in who's just good enough to be like, okay, if Mitch gets hurt, we have someone who can plug the hole. They're all in on Mitch. That's what I think. I think this was an optics thing. And you'll see on Monday or Sunday, whenever they name the starter, it's going to be Trubisky.
I don't think
every opportunity to fail.
That's fine, and I don't think you're crazy for suggesting it, but trading a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles and giving him $21 million guaranteed is not an optics thing, Pete. That's not optics. That goes beyond optics.
No, I hear what you're saying. I just don't think – I don't see him as the guy in their mind. He is someone who's going to, if Mitch does what he did last year, can do what Chase Daniels couldn't do.
Right. He's just a backup, and he's not a threat to take a team over a long period of time.
Right, I'm just telling you, like, you don't spend a fourth-round pick and give up $21 million guaranteed for optics. That's all I'm saying to you.
Like, what I more mean by is this more of a dog and pony show for saying, oh, someone, you know, we have a competition when there's not a competition.
You know what, Pete, I think, you know what I think this is?
Thanks, Pete. Thanks
for the call. I don't think the coach truly trusts what he saw from the quarterback last year. And the coaches, despite being the NFL coach of the year in his rookie campaign, they took a step back last year and it didn't look good for him. And there's a really good chance that if they go 5-11 and the offense stinks up the room like they did last year again, you may be looking at really significant change that may include him.
Right.
So he's, you know, I mean, like, this isn't optics for Matt. Matt, you think
it's a trust issue. You always have.
Yeah.
And they trust Foles when they don't trust Trubisky. Those are the two camps that they believe. One side believes that, hey, it's Mitch. He's got the higher upside. One last chance. If we're going to err on the side of one thing, let's go to Mitch one more time. Or us, who believe this has always been a trust thing. The coaching staff has been burnt by Mitch. They've got to have a professional quarterback. Even if he is a little bit meh over his career, the high points are still better than what Mitch has shown you, who still can't read defenses and throw the accurate pass. Those are the two sides on this, Cam. So 332-3776. We got to play some Nagy. Want to take some more calls. And is there bad news looming today for the Cubs based on what they have in their lineup today? I just read this from Abdallah, and it concerns me. We'll share that news with you next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, weirdness on the Cubs lineup. And I guess we're told everyone's healthy. But try to figure this out. Chris Bryant came back last night. Had a couple hits, too.
Yeah, look good at the plate.
And David Ross is giving him an off day today. And not just him an off day. But I find that odd that when you're in a short sprint and you're and Chris Bryant has not gotten into any sort of a rhythm this season, he's off to a really slow start, that you would play him one day, he'd have some success, and then you'd want him to sit out the next day. I know it was extra innings. I know he ran up the bases a lot. But that just, it seems odd to me on a night game and a night game. And extra, I think they've got a day. Don't they have a day off here coming up too?
They have a day game tomorrow.
Well, they had a day off on Monday.
They had a day off on Monday. At extra innings, they played two innings. They played two innings. This wasn't a 17-inning game.
Right.
They played 11 innings.
Hayward's out of the lineup too, right?
Right. Schwarber. Now, look, I wouldn't want to cool Hayward off.
That's my point, Sully.
Like, ride it. Ride this hot streak. Like, you're not taking Happ out. Here's their lineup. Cubs today. Leading off center field, Ian Happ. Batting second, the struggling Wilson Contreras. Batting third, Anthony Rizzo is playing again. At short, Javi Baez. He did have a big hit yesterday, but I think, what did he end up going? 1-for-6? Souza is back. He's in left field, so no Schwarber. Your designated hitter is Martinez, who you just acquired. So Maben, who you acquired, is in right field today. No Hayward. Bodie is playing third, batting eighth, and Nico Horner is at second. I don't quite understand why you now David Ross is going to speak, but the Chris Bryant thing to me is perplexing. Is there anything out there that would answer this easier?
I feel the same way about Hayward. Hayward has been red hot. I wouldn't cool him off. I'm with you on that front, too.
And we would, again, I tweeted out for the second day in a row, Joe's getting cute again. Because Joe got all the blame. Whenever the Cubs would do weird stuff, and it's fine to analyze the managerial stuff, but he was the whipping guy at the end. It was all him for their lack of success. And I think David Ross is a good manager, too. I think, like, ripping Ross is the wrong move as well. That I think these managers are more the same than they are different sometimes. And I don't blame Joe at all for any of the issues they had last year. I blame what the team has been and what the front office has not been able to do. So
yeah, that's an odd lineup. I mean, it affects how I'm going to wager.
Can you imagine the Joe Maddon calls we'd be getting now if this was last year?
Oh, yeah.
That if Chris Bryant came back one day, and then the next day, after a couple hits, and he's fine, they sat him. Can you imagine everyone saying, well, Joe's getting cute.
Yeah.
Joe's overthinking it.
It's really weird. But I don't know. I'll wait to hear what Ross has to say.
312-332-3776. Braggs wants to talk to us about the Bears and the quarterback issue. Greg, what's going on, my man?
What's up, guys? I wasn't even sure I was going to, because Abdallah's not even speaking to me now. He's just, he won't even talk to me about this, so I apologize.
You guys are frenemies. Like, if there's a definition of frenemies, it's you and Abdallah.
I know his number. No, see, this is what'll happen. This is stereotypical Braggs. This is exactly what'll happen. He'll talk trash today. He's talked trash in the past. And then, not this year, obviously, but next year, when we're at games again together, he'll come and try to buy us beers and be like, hey, man, oh, we get a little, well, yeah, well, like, hey, oh, how's it going? How's share some beers. Trubisky's awful. I know it, but I will never say it on the radio.
Propaganda.
Such a lie.
Chris,
him
did he
Black.
Not say it to us in the stands?
No.
Last year during the Chargers game.
It sounds like that was said in confidence, and you just violated that.
Yes, we did.
Don't
look at these liars.
Those loose lips.
You can hear him smiling through the phone. He knows
you
it.
You guys are liars. First off, Abdallah wasn't even. Look at how you guys get me off into a tangent. First off, Abdallah wasn't even standing there. It was just me and you, Black. And second off, I said, do no half measures. Either fire everybody after this season, and that was last year is what I'm talking about, and just go get Lincoln Riley and the quarterback from Oklahoma and tag team duo like the Arizona Cardinals did with Kyler Murray and their coach. They brought them both. That's what I said. Do that or just stick with Mitch one more year, and then if that doesn't work, wipe the slate clean. And that's what's falling into fruition right now. I've always said Alex Smith, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, whatever, a guy that you know you can trust as an insurance policy, but you have to give Mitch the first look. And I know that nauseates you guys, the logic behind that, but that's not saying just give it to him even if he sucks at camp. But by all indications, you guys are making it out like he has been terrible at camp. That's not exactly how I'm hearing it. You're picking apart all the most negative comments. But to me,
I've heard they've both been average, Greg. Have you heard that Mitch has had a great camp? I've not heard that from a single beat writer.
I don't even think that I've made a comment about how they've practiced.
We can listen to the beat writer's opinion, and then we can also listen to what Matt Nagy's saying, too, and try to read in between the lines of what he's saying. I don't think he's being as negative as you guys are portraying him.
At this point, Greg, I don't care. I don't even care. I'm tired of it.
I do.
I'm tired of this quarterback conversation.
I know you are, but it's
name a guy and play. Name a guy and play. That's it.
I know you're tired of this, but it's an important conversation. And not being at camp for all of us fans that are used to go, it kills us. I would love to see, just for myself, I mean, I'm going off of the opinions of the writers and what Nagy's saying, too. But like I said, you guys are looking at it through a negative scope by saying, hey, well, if Mitch wins the job, that obviously means that both quarterbacks are bad.
Who said that?
Well, I'm
nobody
just saying it's
that.
The in people are inferring
you're
that.
You're swinging
that's
a ghost right now. This is a ghost fight. You're fighting with a ghost right now.
It's not a ghost. This is the conversation being had. It's how is he winning the job? Because Foles is a Super Bowl, former Super Bowl MVP, been in the league all that. You guys have been saying all offseason how this guy would be able to come in, be the point guard, the veteran. Well, if Mitch is beating him out, that either means Foles is worse than you guys are saying, or Mitch isn't as bad as some are suggesting. That's what we're trying to figure out here. None of us will know until they play the Lions, but it's worth the conversation. I understand it's a frustrating one. No one wants it. We all want Patrick Mahomes. We all want that. But this is the cards we're dealt. And, yeah, there's got to be an opinion one way or another. That's sports talk radio. But it's an important one. And I think there is the possibility that Mitch has been stepping up. And just because we're not getting the flowers thrown at him in the quotes in the newspapers.
Fine, then name him your starter and play, for Christ's sake. I'm tired of it. It's so silly.
I understand like at this point, I'm sorry you're tired of it, but to me,
Greg, I'll go buy a number 10 jersey with Mitch's name on the back if you just name him today.
The psychology behind Nagy not announcing it and giving the keys to Mitch is him holding his feet to the fire, not giving him that he has been for the last 2 years. He's trying to be tough on him. He's trying to make him see it all the way.
Is that him we're losing? Are we losing him?
I wanted
to make sure
like,
that wasn't.
Like, and I love Greg, but he hung up. Like, I'm not, you see, for days now, I have not even gotten into the conversation of Nick versus Mitch. I gave you that my perspective on that when they traded for him, and it hasn't changed. So I'm not even arguing that anymore. I just am telling you the thought that a coaching staff doesn't know who they're going to start 9 days before is not a comforting feeling. And that's why I think they, and have for a while, they've already known who they're going to be. Whether it's Mitch or it's Nick, they've known who they're going to start for several days.
Can I ask you guys a football question?
Hold on one sec, Black. The Foles-Trubisky quarterback derby has literally made Waddle have a mental breakdown in front of us all. I think you just had a mental breakdown. I think you're so frustrated with this.
I'm just frustrated with the same argument from people over and over again. It's a silly argument. Like, I don't care what you have invested in Mitch. I don't care what you have invested in Nick Foles. We're arguing about two guys most likely that are going to be average and asked to get, as I said to you guys weeks ago, all I want is for them to be an average offense. That's it. That's where I set the bar.
What were you going to say? I'm sorry, Black.
No, it's good. For the win total for the Bears heading into this season, will you change that number based on who wins the quarterback job?
No.
It's a good. Let's talk about that on the other side. It's a good question. You don't get credit in your own contest for that. 312-332-3776. So Waddle is officially done with all of this. We just heard it here happen live on the air. We're trying to find out, too, what David Ross is thinking with Chris Bryant getting a day off a day after he returns and had a productive day. We're having some fun, I think, on ESPN 1000. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
You okay in there? Got a good picture of you from the Twitch
channel.
Yeah,
I'm fine. I'm tired of the same. Like, I feel like I'm in Groundhog Day. Every day I get the same explanation for this guy and I get the same explanation for that guy.
Well, it's not just Groundhog Day with this story, but whether it's McCown and Cutler, whether it's Rex and Orton, whether it's Walsh and Kramer. You know what I mean?
Like, well, that's why I'm just like, for the love of everything good and pure in this world, just name one of them. Like, I don't care. I really don't care who it is. There's a good chance that whoever gets the start isn't going to be the guy that's on the field when week 17 is wrapped up, if we get to week 17, which I think we will. This is just like, if I hear one more person call in and tell me exactly why Nick Foles is going to start, and then somebody else calls in and tells you exactly why. Like, I've heard all the explanations. Every one of them. It's just, we're just repeating everything that we've all said. Everything, just over and over again. Let's get back into the boxing ring and let's all fight about the same thing all over again.
I like the calls. They make me happy. I like talking Bears football, though.
I do, too. Why can't we, like you said earlier, You know what also needs to be identified? What's going to happen with this offensive line? Who's going to play running back with Danny Montgomery hurt?
Exactly.
Is Anthony Miller going to finally step up and justify them moving up and using a second-round pick and fulfill all of that potential that we saw?
Is Robert Quinn going to live up to
yes,
the money?
That's my point, is we spend all this time, and I know the nature of the business, don't get me wrong, but, like, I mean, there's so many other issues with this team that need to be identified and looked at.
Chris,
and I just wish for my own pleasure that they would just name someone and we could just move forward.
I think, though, if you think this is going to disappear after the season starts, I think you're mistaken. I think this is, we're in this for the season. I think this is a back and forth
thing. Fantastic.
We're not in this for the season if Foles wins the job and then the Bears start off 4-0, you know, and they're playing well, then that'll be that.
Then we just live with the highs and lows of Nick Foles.
Yeah, not to mention this is why I'm with you, Sylvie. I mean, this is what we talk about. None of us has seen a practice. Not one of us. Like JD has and Dan Weiderer and everybody else, and we're following what they've said. But the practices have been few and far between. They're tremendously modified. These guys are not on the field, you know, where they have a good enough view, but not like, I mean, like, this is one of the weirdest offseason of all time. So, like, to be definitively all in, how the hell do you know?
Don't. But you think he knows. And then I want to get to Bleck's question. Bleck asked before the break, will you adjust your win total based on the quarterback? And I'm not. I mean,
I'm not either.
I think they both have a lot of faults, you know? And I if it's Mitch, I'm Team Mitch then, because I'm Team Bears.
If they don't protect the quarterback and run the football more effectively and stay committed to being a balanced offense, I don't care who the quarterback is, the offense is not going to succeed, because both of these guys need help. They both need a complementary running game to take pressure off them. Neither guy, as I told you when they traded for Nick Foles, you didn't bring in Aaron Rodgers in his prime. Both of these guys are dependent on other people inside their huddle. Sorry.
Can he be average? Can the offense be average with him? Because you've preached with Nick Foles.
I believe this offense
needs to be average.
Yes.
And if they are average, they can win more football games than we saw last season. So, like, I think the concern is, if you're looking at win totals and Mitch is the starter, are we sure that they can be average with him as the quarterback? He's shown us that he hasn't been able to do that before. Can they be average to get over the 8-8?
Well, they were 8-8 last year, and they were as bad as they could humanly be.
I know.
Now, again, it felt like 6-10 because of some of the teams they beat.
But again, what we've heard is that it's not like he's improved to this level where we know heading into this season that he's absolutely better and this offense will be average.
I think the defense is going to be sound. I think Matt Nagy will be better. If Matt Nagy's not better than he was last year, then we're doomed.
All right, 312-332-3776. Chris Bryant basically confirmed that he's fine. He is out. John Greenberg tweeted that he's out of the lineup because David Ross wants to ease him back. I don't know why you're easing him back. He was out for a few weeks, and he had a good day yesterday. I think, if anything, he needs more reps. He needs more at-bats. He needs to stay hot and finally get into a groove that we've been waiting for Chris Bryant to get in. Why you bench him a day after return, I don't understand it, but that David Ross made that move. We'll see what happens tonight against Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that in a historic week on and off the field for Jason Hayward. He joins us in 2 short minutes.